Every Sunday, someone walks through these doors and asks a quiet question. Do I belong here? They may not say it out loud, but it's there. Are these my people? Do I matter here? Am I seen? Am I safe? Belonging matters. It shapes us. It's the difference between staying on the edges or stepping in, between protecting ourselves and risking connection. It shapes whether we return. The answer to that question is not found in our signage or on our website. It is found in how we are with one another. Belonging is not something we declare. It is something we practice. Many of you know that I spend much of my week working with couples. One of the things we talk about often is what happens after we say, I do. You ready, Sharon? At first, love is intentional, chosen, alive. But over time, something subtle can happen. We begin to assume. You're here. You're not going anywhere. You just have to put up with me, my bad habits, my grumpiness, and my underwear on the floor. And that quiet assumption that you will always be here no matter what begins to erode the relationship. So I offer couples in my practice a shift. What if every day we began the day with this awareness? Today, I choose you. Not because I have to, not because you're stuck with me, but because I am actively and intentionally choosing this relationship. And I recognize that you are choosing me too. Because loving always carries risk. One day, one of us will leave, either by choice or by death. We know this, and because that awareness is frightening, we push it away. We fall asleep within our assumptions, and in that sleep, we lose sight of the preciousness of what we have together. What if we do this not only in our marriages and in our partnerships, but in our communities? What if we assume this place will always be here, these people will always show up, someone else will carry it? And slowly, unintentionally, we disengage. Belonging is not automatic. It is chosen, it is practiced, it is returned to again and again. As many of you may have noticed, I stepped away from Chalice for a while. I didn't plan to, but the weight of everything I was holding had just become too much. Volunteer commitments, my practice, a construction project that refused to end. Caretaking responsibilities, the strains of battling systems my loved ones depend on. I was tired. Not like I need a nap tired. I mean bone tired. And then, in the middle of the heaviness, came the phone call. Within weeks of each other, my closest friends, Sharon and Randy, were both diagnosed with cancer. And they were preparing to move. Here's me and Sharon, my playmate. So who's taking those pictures? Yes, it's Randy. A camera full of pictures. And the only picture I could find of Randy was this one. I have no idea what you all ate, but I bet you forgot I had photo evidence of it. In that same stretch of time, I found my elderly neighbor in critical condition in her home. Not once, not twice, but three times. Ambulances, emergency rooms, surgeries. Eventually, she came to stay in my home to recover. In her aloneness, I had become her lifeline. People said to me, "Why are you doing this? She's not your family." I couldn't imagine not doing it. In a world that felt like it was unraveling, where cruelty filled the headlines, I felt helpless. I could not fix the systems. I could not change politics. I could not heal cancer, but I could be a good neighbor. I could bring Michelle groceries. I could make soup. I could bring her medicines in the night. When the world feels unmanageable, we return to the scale of love that we can actually practice. I was in caretaker mode, hyper alert, functioning, managing, but mostly I was numb. I slipped into something very old, that parentified child from the alcoholic family, the kid who learned early how to handle crises as if they were normal. When life overwhelms me, I tighten, I organize, I push through, I handle things. There was no time to fall apart. Maybe you know that way of surviving. Other people were counting on me. I knew how to carry. I did not know how to lean. I knew how to be needed, but I did not know how to need. So I carried. And then one night, Sammy declined rapidly. Sammy, my beloved dog, had also been diagnosed with cancer. Small in body, huge in presence. My shadow, my steady one, I had no idea that I could grieve a dog the way I grieved her. I had no idea until she was gone how much she had been holding me. She slept pressed against me in bed at night. She followed me from room to room, waiting for me to sit down so she could sit on me. She watched the door when I left and waited when I returned. And when the world felt unstable, she felt constant. When the headlines felt loud, she was quiet comfort. When my nervous system tightened, she softened it. She made, "I am not alone," a story that my body believed. And when I had to call the hospice vet and sit on the living room floor and say goodbye, it was not just her body that left. It was the scaffolding that I didn't know was actually holding me together. When I was a little girl, I had another small black dog named Shotzi. She would crawl into my bed when things were chaotic and she'd lick the tears off my face. And the people in my life, when they were not steady, she was. So Sammy held that same place in my heart. And when she died, with the grief came anger. Anger at a world where suffering is not distributed according to goodness. Anger that loving deeply guarantees loss. Anger at the humbling truth that I am not enough to hold everything together. None of us are. And if I'm honest, I was angry at the mystery that I call God. I wasn't needing an explanation about the randomness of life. I just needed something bigger than me so that it could be okay that I just needed to fall apart. I was looking for places where my smallness felt like enough. As I searched inside of me, for moments that I had felt that, I mean, truly felt it, I realized it was almost always in places. In ancient temples where stones had absorbed centuries of prayer. In cathedrals where incense burns in the air and the light filters through the stained glass. At the Wailing Wall where longing had been pressed into rocks with tears. In the intricate mosaics of mosques where beauty looks like devotion. And in the cathedral of trees, in an old growth forest, where the canopy rises like a vaulted ceiling and the wind sounds like the breath of God. In my grief, I could suddenly understand why we build and protect such places. Why we enter them quietly, why we stand inside of them and we look up. Something in us knows that we are not meant to carry existence alone. We need to feel small inside something vast because we are. We need to allow our tears to disappear into something older and wider than our own story. We need to feel held by mystery. We are meant to be dwarfed by beauty, to be steadied by continuity. I didn't need to make sense out of what was happening. I needed to be held, to know that my soul was allowed to cry, that I was allowed to be tired and sad and not enough. For me, God is not certainty. God is that mystery, that vastness, the presence that exceeds my control. And maybe, just maybe, God knows itself most fully in community, in the places people gather, in the ways we hold one another when no single one of us is enough. I thought I needed a cathedral. I thought I needed ancient stone. But what I needed was to remember that belonging itself is sacred architecture. To know that I was not carrying existence alone. And slowly, the months passed, the seasons changed, the construction pushed to a close. Sharon and Randy settled into their new home, and the to-do list shortened, and my nervous system began to calm, and I found myself in my garden. There is something humbling about tending living things that do not care about your worries or your to-do list. The tomatoes still need watering, the weeds still grow, and the birds still come back each morning. I remember standing there one morning with my cup of coffee in my hand, watching the birds hop along the fence line as if nothing in life was unraveling. They did not debate the state of the world, and they were not waiting for stability. They were just simply returning again and again. And I began to wonder if belonging works that way too. I did not need ancient stone. I needed to stop. to breathe, to look up, to notice. The cathedral I was longing for was actually all around me. God was not hiding in far-off temples. God was in the wind moving through the birch tree that was in my front yard, in the ordinary miracles of birds returning, in the rhythm of my own breath. And God was in the acts of love that I almost missed, in Ani showing up at my house with a bagel, not asking me to process, not demanding that I be okay, just sitting with me. Michael leaving a quiet gift on my doorstep. Your cards, your texts, your chats when I would let you have them with me. Like the rabbit in The Rabbit Listened, the people who showed up for me did not rush to fix what was heavy. They stayed. They listened. They offered presence, which is in and of itself a kind of belonging, the sacred in motion. All small reminders that I had not disappeared. Your steadiness, like the birds, did not demand. And little by little, the quiet of my garden, the birds being birds, your steady kindness began to loosen the tightness, and my breath returned. It wasn't that my grief vanished, or even that my tiredness was lifted. It was that I allowed myself to feel what I had been refusing to feel. I was not alone. And I miss this place. Not the logistics, not the committee meetings. I missed you. The sound of your voices, the way this room feels when we are breathing together, the quiet hum of people choosing to show up. When I walked back through those doors, something seeped back into my being. It was not like fireworks. It was just recognition. Oh, yeah, this is home. This is sacred architecture. And I had to let that in. Belonging is not about never stepping away. It is about knowing that you can return and that there is a place that you can return to. And that returning is not automatic. It is chosen. And I had to choose back in, and you chose me back.